Send a movie idea.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated TV creation podcast. The rules here are simple. We can take as many of your TV ideas as we like. That's right, it's a TV special this week, but only one can be taken through to the next stage, where the show will be produced by one of the big streamers before being unceremoniously cancelled for not getting enough total minutes consumed by A1 affluent listeners in Q2. I'm Joel, a man who puts the rhythm into algorithm, and across from me, it's John Harris, a man who has been described on several occasions as Britain's last great defender of Channel 5. Hi, John.
I shouldn't laugh. Channel 5's got loads of great programming, I'm sure.
What's your favourite three things on Channel 5? And we're not alone today, are we, John? We're actually joined by a very special guest for this episode, this TV episode. We're honoured to be joined by podcaster, actor, rapper, and Pizza Hut pizza innovator, Scroobius Pip. Hello.
Hello, and fellow defender of Channel 5. I've got a defence for Channel 5 here. Channel 5 is where one of, maybe my favourite ever TV show aired, a show called The Shield.
Yes.
And I think I ignored it for years because it was on Channel 5, because Channel 5 has that rep. And then The Guardian or someone did like a write-up after Series 3 saying that this is the best cop show ever, it's amazing. And I gave it a watch, but I'd previously dismissed it because it was on Channel 5. But yeah.
There we go.
I feel
maybe
bad.
They're better than we realise. Maybe we're not watching all their quality stuff.
I span a random wheel of channels that I don't watch and I pulled one out. It could have been anything. It could have been UK TV Gold. I'm indiscriminate when it comes to TV channels. Thanks for coming on, Pip. They do say that you appear on the Dream Factory podcast twice in your career, once on the way up and once on the way back down. And can I just say, it is great to have you back.
He's done it three times now. So what does that
mean? Is this the third time?
We did it in person.
On the way back up again, baby. The hat trick. Amazing. But we're here to pitch some TV ideas.
I just want to quickly say David Earl and Joe Wilkinson's show, The Cockfields, was fantastic on UK Gold. Sorry. Go ahead, Joel.
Is there a channel I can name and you won't have a recommendation for it?
Probably.
Okay, we'll come back to that. And there's some of those weird kind of evangelical channels pretty deep in the Sky TV guide. So if we get short on ideas, I'll throw a few of those your way. John.
Well, let's keep things.
Give me an idea for a TV show.
Let's keep things quite UK TV gold with The Last Jedi of the Summer Wine. Foggy reluctantly agrees to tutor Compo in the ways of the Force, helping Clegg escape from Auntie Wainwright and assisting in the survival of the climactic bathtub chase. That is gibberish to me. Anyone?
No way.
I love it. Yeah, I don't know any of the names, but yeah.
Compo rings a bell.
Yeah.
Compo, I think, is a character that I can sort of picture from Last of the Summer Wine. And iconically, they do
the bathtub.
Roll down a hill in a bathtub. Yeah.
What was the exciting thing that they raced in the first of the
pod
Star
racing.
Wars prequels? Pod racing. So pod racing scene, but in the bathtub, right?
In a bathtub, of course. The lads from Last Summer Wine find themselves on Tatooine.
I think any...
Everyone else is on them pods and they turn up in their bathtub. souped up.
I like the image of sort of any vehicle in Star Wars actually being a bathtub. So I want to see some of the space fights. I want to see the run on the Death Star on a bathtub.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. just going through all the little tight bits.
Little bath bomb at the end.
So give me the name again, please, John. The last Jedi of the Summer Wine.
Yes.
So I'm kind of into maybe the idea of a retirement home for Jedis. That seems interesting. Like you can, does the power of the Force ever really leave you? Do you keep that into your old age? If we live in a world where Jedis aren't all slain and some of them get to live to be a very old age, you know, that maybe that I can see some sort of floating retirement community.
Yeah. A community for the few Jedis that Disney don't force a miniseries out of.
they're all waiting for the call.
Yeah, they're all in there waiting to be called back in.
You could go really bleak because a bit like in Logan, where Professor X, because he's got dementia, is incredibly dangerous. And I'd imagine someone with the Force, you know, could be incredibly... But that's not fun. So let's just...
Yoda with dementia and he starts talking in the right order. Is that a bad thing to say? Is that a horrible thing to say?
I think that's okay.
I think it's okay. If there's any... What is Yoda?
Oh, well, that's a big question in the Star Wars community, Joe.
Oh, I was going to say, well, you know, if there's any of Yoda's species
listening.
Please direct all of your complaints to Scroobius Pip. Yeah, old Jedi's in space, retirement community. I'm into it. How about this one from Nathan, Baked and Afraid? So I'm sure you're all aware of the hit. It might be on Discovery or National Geographic or... it's one of those channels that you'll watch in an American hotel room exclusively. And it has the show Naked and Afraid, which is a bit like Bear Grylls survival kind of style thing, but with the added gimmick that they... get put in the jungle completely naked. Like, as if there's some difference between putting you in the jungle in your pants and it doesn't matter, does it? Like a snake's not looking at you with your knob out in a different way to if you had a little pair of pants on. So I guess it is just...
Snake was the wrong choice of animal there, I'd say.
Snake was really the wrong choice of animal. Yeah,
Snake is the one that is looking at you differently.
It's the right, of all the creatures in the jungle, that is the one that's going to look at you differently. So Naked and Afraid, you get put in a jungle, I think, for 6 weeks. And if you make it, you win, you know, $1 million. And I think very few people make it. I'm assuming Baked and Afraid, they're also giving them a load of ayahuasca before they go in there and just seeing what happens.
You see, I think they don't even need to be in a jungle. I think this is in the living room and there's a knock at the door. No one's announced that they're coming over. And that's all it is. You don't know who that is at the door.
I've heard stories of some sort of big stately home somewhere South London way that is a good place if you know the right people to have some sort of a shamanistic ayahuasca trip if you don't want to go to South America. That would be quite a good place for 12 people on a trip trying to survive.
Only last night, naked. A friend of mine was telling me of his experience with the Billericay shaman. genuinely. Rather than going out to Peru or wherever there's a lad in Billericay, apparently, who can do a cracking job.
I think of all the place names, Billericay is just the most antithetical to shaman.
Yeah, completely. It doesn't fit at all. But genuinely, I was told of it. I only heard of his existence last night. I have not sought him out yet.
You didn't get his number?
No, not yet. I don't think you get a shaman's number, do you? You've got to journey to them in some way. You've got to discover them.
Yeah. I'm going to go C2C train.
I'm going to go all the way back to Nathan's original idea here, which... for the record, is a good out loud, but it's a really excellent written down. It looks a lot. It looks even better than it sounds.
Yeah.
Could it be that
I know what you're going to say, John?
Trucked in the jungle,
baked
make
and
a
afraid.
Cake.
Poor Hollywood. Yep. Poor Hollywood is completely naked, and he's got to bake a cake in the jungle.
Or it's just it is Bake Off, but you're bringing the jungle to them. So there's a lion in there, or there's a crocodile in
yep.
there.
Yeah. Added jeopardy.
You're popping that
in those final weeks.
So there's the afraid. Yeah. So yeah,
just tarantulas.
In those last few weeks of Bake Off, the tent is a bit sparse, and there's a lot of filler. There's a lot of let's have a look at their home life kind of stuff because you've only got four people baking four cakes for an hour and a half. So there is quite a bit of filler. You're right. If there was a crocodile crawling around the place,
mate,
that would add an
open the fridge.
Tension.
A polar bear pops his head out. Be terrified.
It's fundamentally this is all good telly.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Where have we reached? Is Naked and Afraid the zenith of where that show can go? Obviously, you're always trying to iterate on that style of show, right? You see a hit on another channel that's a survival show. You think, how can we do this differently? And what's our hook? Where do you go after people are literally
There's
naked?
Nowhere to go other than giving them a kicking before you put them in.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it handcuffs? You're naked and you're in handcuffs and you're afraid.
Naked, beaten, and afraid.
I mean, all reality formats could sort of be improved with the inclusion of nudity. Mm-hmm. Thinking Strictly.
Yeah.
Dancing on Ice.
You don't have to change the name with Strictly if people get particularly fired up. It's very, very puerile. I'm so sorry, guys.
No, we're not beneath. That's not... No, you're not all right. You can't drag this down. There's nowhere we won't go. I'm Naked and Afraid is literally your worst nightmare, isn't it, John? Because famously, you are the most clothed man in the UK at all times.
I mean, yes.
It's a story I will not need an excuse to tell, but famously, John and I were once in a hotel room and John had way too much to drink and he needed to get out of bed to be sick. But between getting out of bed and going to the hotel bathroom, he got up, put on trousers, a t-shirt, a shirt and his hat and then went to the bathroom to be sick.
Priority.
All of it rushing, you know, with the sense of saliva in your mouth and the, you know, he still got fully dressed.
Yeah, I mean.
Amazing. I've never seen him topless. I've known him for, you know, a decade plus.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Nothing. Naked and Afraid is just being naked makes me afraid.
Just bigger, just your life, isn't it? Yeah.
Would you like another one from me? From Stu. Yes. The Ball of the House of Usher. We've had a lot from the Fall of the House of Usher. So this is The Ball of the House of Usher. Some kids accidentally kick their ball into Usher's back garden and they have to organise a heist to get it back, avoiding the pitfalls and traps laid by the R&B star.
I like it. I like it.
I think The Fall of the House of Usher, it has been a rich scene for us. It's got a name that you can play around with quite a bit.
It's got Usher in the name.
Exactly.
It's got Usher in the name. You're right.
What's going on there? It's got an R&B singer in the name. So yeah. Fill your boots. Yeah.
If Netflix could put out a big series that features the name of an R&B star sort of once every 6 months, Dream Factory will never end.
Yeah.
That's our promise to you.
Or the Netflix could genuinely make a reality show of the ball of the House of Usher, but it's a ball. Like he's put on a ball. So there's
the Met Gala kind of.
Yeah, so it's a Met Gala type thing, but it's probably a Bachelorette or whatever, or the Bachelor type show. And it's the ball of the House of Usher. And everyone has to go and, I don't know, try and win Usher's heart.
Soundtrack.
Oh, nice. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Soundtrack by his own music, but done by an orchestra.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That, I mean, that
is good.
I feel like there was a real sort of era in the like late 90s, early noughties, where it was like dating shows for like a sort of mad celebrity. Like I'm sure there was one with oh my gosh, who's the rapper with the clock round?
Flavor Flav did one.
Flavor
of Love.
Flavor of Love.
Yeah.
And not, it wasn't a dating show, but there was also a famous You Run's House.
Yeah.
Where it was like a reality show about the life and times of Rev Run.
And there was one with like one of the Motley Crue guys or something like that. It was some rocker was the one that they did after Flavor of Love.
Yeah, I remember the rocker, but I can't remember who he was.
Yeah, I can't think who
good
it
telly
was.
Good telly, I'd say.
Yeah.
And then the
Do
ball
you think he keeps the clock on.
Oh, is it a functioning clock? Does he adjust?
I beg your pardon, John.
So Flavor Flav would famously say, I wear the clock so you can know the time. Is that a mm-hmm. situation where you want the other person to know
I
the
don't,
time
to see the seconds ticking
by? Do you want
by?
Them keeping an eye on an accurate you want them distracted as much as possible from time, I'd imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I really want to clarify from time. I don't mean distracted as much as possible in general. There's nothing...
Just from the passing of time. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It maybe he turns the clock around.
Yeah.
I can't imagine him taking the clock off, so I think you just have to kind of get lost in his eyes.
I wonder
eyes.
If it's a smart clock now and it's got like his BPM and stuff on it.
Well, like a big Apple Watch.
Yeah, a giant Apple Watch just hanging around his neck.
Well, I was going to ask, does Flavor Flav change the time when he gets off the plane?
Yeah, interesting.
I reckon at the height of their fame, he had a guy.
In a different clock, like, and, you know, guitarists on stage. Yeah,
I reckon it hit hard the first time he had to change the time himself.
Yeah.
When, you know, maybe cutbacks had to be made, I reckon sort of mid-2000s. I think early 90s, there was a guy who travelled with him and he would just, depending on time zone, he would change the clock.
Here's a terrible insight to my previous rock and roll lifestyle, but I was quite known for wearing two watches all the time in the touring days. And when we would tour, the right hand would be on UK time and the left would be on local time. So I would adjust one
cool.
to local time and one to know what's going on at home. So
you
wild.
Know, you walk, that is pretty rock and roll. Does that help with jet lag, or is that just, would that not be the most confusing?
I don't know. It helped with, again, because it was kind of probably slightly pre having all the time zones on your phone. So it helped with kind of quickly knowing who you could text and who you couldn't text,
yeah,
or call
enough.
And things like that. Because I've got friends in America who we've been in these different countries the whole time we've known each other, and we still have no idea when the other's awake, what kind of time. Yeah, I'm terrible with that. So, yeah, it's a helpful thing.
I was just thinking, you know, sometimes you go into an office and they've got 4 clocks up on the wall, and it will say Shanghai, New York, London, Tokyo. Flavor Flav, maybe he just has that at home and he opens up his suitcase and he pops in the relevant clocks depending on where he's traveling to.
Yeah, he takes the Shanghai off the wall.
Yep, takes down. Shanghai.
Wraps it in a towel, I'm thinking, for some reason. But, you know, you've got to look after it in travel.
Yeah, he probably does wrap it in a towel.
Wrap it in a towel, get it out.
I went into a dentist once and they had 6 of those clocks on the wall.
Amazing. Why does the dentist need to know international time zones?
Yeah. Exactly.
What business are they doing?
I sat in a dentist's waiting room. I knew what time it was in LA.
It's time to brush your teeth somewhere.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
How about this one from Alex, Dharma and Greg? Despite their opposite personalities, Greg, a conservative lawyer, and Dharma, a cannibalistic serial killer, get married after their first date. Their contradictory views create comical situations. That is a spin on...
Dharma and Greg.
Dharma and... Oh, what's Dharma and Greg?
Gee, it was like a channel
for... No, it's something else in Greg, isn't it? Or was it always Dharma and Greg?
Oh.
I was then thinking,
surely
was it originally?
Not.
Yeah, it's Dharma.
Oh, it was.
D-H...
What's Dharma?
D-H-A-R-M-A.
That's not... Just call it something else.
It's a classic. It's a classic sort of on Channel 4 before you went to school in the morning show.
Yeah.
No, it's not. I refuse to accept that. It was that's Everybody Loves Raymond, Friends, King of Queens,
definitely.
Not Dharma and Greg. That was never. You will not be able to prove to me that was on the Channel 4 before school schedule.
King of Queens has got one of my genuinely favourite comedy scenes ever, and it's with. Whose dad's in it? Is it Adam Sand? Ben Stiller's dad, isn't it? Ben Stiller's dad
was the dad in it.
And he's giving Kevin James a phone number. He's reading it off of a sheet and Kevin James is entering it into a landline phone. And he says like 6, 7, 8, 14. And he has to hang up and start again because he's obviously entered 4 and it's 14. And it was just, I mean, it's just... It's gold.
That is good.
That's a really good gag. That is a really good gag.
16.
John, would you like Sorry.
I'll keep going on this gag.
John, would you like to hear a TV idea from me?
Yes, please.
Friday Night Dinner Lights. It's a sitcom about the world of competitive eating. It takes place under the lights on a Friday night. It follows the life and times of the competitive eating world champion, Joey Chestnut.
I don't understand.
I can tell you more about Joey Chestnut if you'd like.
What's the
lights? Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
Friday Night Lights is a show about American football.
Got it.
Friday Night Dinner. So I've combined America's second beloved sport, eating, with the sitcom Friday Night Dinner and come up with Friday Night Dinner Lights. It's good, John. It's better once I've explained it like this, I think. Yeah, it's about Joey Chestnut, who, of course, is the greatest all-time competitive eater. He's won Nathan's famous hot dog eating contest a record number of times, and in his greatest ever sitting, he ate 76 hot dogs.
He revolutionized the way that competitive eating happens, right? He's the guy who made the bun soggy.
He dunks him in water.
Yeah. So yeah, there's the story
him
there.
In water.
He's innovated his sport. He is, you know, he is genuinely, he's like, he is to hot dog eating what the Fosby flop is to high jumping. Like, he completely changed the sport. It's incredible.
Is this part of the show?
It literally was thought impossible.
This feels like this is in the opening credits of the show. It's really explaining it.
Yeah, this is the origin story, right?
Yeah, I'm into it. I don't know why competitive eating hasn't had the drama kind of treatment yet.
Yeah, or even like the Netflix Drive to Survive treatment. Mm. I would be all over a Netflix series that followed competitive eating around the world.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat.
Let's do it.
John.
Would you like a film idea from me?
This I'd like one a TV is- idea from you, John. This is the TV special of Dream Factory.
Come on.
Apologies. This one is from me. This is a recent one that's just come onto Disney Plus, I noticed. It's called The Artful Todger. Fagin has a beautiful knob.
It sells
what
itself.
Do with that. Does he use it to pick pockets?
He distracts with his
like
knob.
Like an elephant's trunk.
The kids are pickpocketing whilst he's distracting with his beautiful knob.
You can't. No. No, they're not. They're never to get the kids and the knob and never, ever together.
Yeah, as soon as this program came about, the kids had to be taken out of the story. They're not part of the story anymore.
Yeah. Well, this is very much on the Stars Play area of Disney Plus, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
It's where you find your Atlantis.
I did my due diligence by making it Fagin who had the beautiful penis, but then I accidentally brought the kids back in, so I can only apologise.
You still brought the kids in, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Please, sir, can I have some more? it's a beautiful... Fagin's got a beautiful penis. And maybe he runs off to join kind of like the Victorian circus, Victorian freak show kind of thing. Come and see the world's most perfect penis.
Perfect. There we go. And then a fully grown adult is the person who's pickpocketing at the same time. For the record, Your Honour.
Yes. Yeah.
As an actor, imagine getting called up for that. We think we want you to play the role of the man with the world's most beautiful penis. What a compliment that would be to get that call.
I assume they're in your headshots when you send, whether there's a casting call.
If it's that beautiful, yes.
Pip, have you come armed with a TV idea for us?
I have. Loki and Peel. So it's... Again, it could go either way. I'm thinking the world has been messed up. You have to go back in time to write everything, but the solution is somehow sketch comedy and funny characters. So Jordan Peele is in Loki's world to have some pranks and laughter.
I love it. I'm into it. But it's kind of, it feels like Marvel are scrambling a little bit at the moment with their formats and mm-hmm. how to keep the MCU interesting. A Marvel sketch show. I mean, it felt like the first few episodes of WandaVision were all, you know, they were parodying sitcoms of the past. So maybe I'd be quite into a Marvel sketch show, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Those were the two options, either bringing Jordan Peele into Loki's world or bringing Loki into Jordan Peele's previous world. Before becoming a horror master, but yeah, I like it. A Marvel sketch show is surely the future.
Oh man, I love Key and Peele so much, and I feel like I don't. Well, actually, in the episode where we talk about the TV of the year, because we're going to be on Distraction Pieces talking about TV of the year, I will be talking about sketch show. I was about to say sketch comedy is dead, and then realised that my favourite show of the last few years is a sketch show. Oh, so
I love it.
A teaser, a reason to go and listen to Distraction Pieces. Pip, it's been an absolute honour having you on. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure to be here. As you both know, I'm a weekly listener. I also want to say, obviously, this is a TV special. If you're ever stuck for ideas for a week, Joel, this is something that you won't know, but in the Distraction Pieces group, pretty much every week, everyone in the Distraction Pieces network make movie or TV puns on John Harris's name. So if you ever need to do a John Harris special, there's years of puns in there. So I want to actively, on the record, encourage a John Harris special where he has to go through that group and find all the different film-based puns using his name. From Harris with love. It goes on, obviously.
I would love nothing more than a John Harris special. We'll definitely do that. Thank you so much. That is really... genuinely brilliant information, and John looks slightly uncomfortable, so I can't wait to do a John Harris special.
It's the only reason I'm here. Just wanted to get that into Joel's head, and John won't give me direct contact.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Pip.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Pip, this is our little post-credit slot where we do a couple of pop culture recommendations. Have you got anything off the dome that you've enjoyed in the last few days? You know, podcast, TV, video game, film, something in the real, something outside. Maybe you've been outside and saw, you know, a hill.
I've been outside. Today I went to see The Holdovers. And again, you sometimes wouldn't have film in this section because you've done the film, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was so good. And I don't know, for some reason I didn't go in expecting that much, but everyone in it is just, yeah, it's so watchable, so enjoyable. It's over 2 hours long, but feels like a classic kind of 70-minute, like 80s/90s movie. Yeah, absolutely loved it.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, I'm on a long flight on Monday, and I'm hoping that this is award season flight, you know? I'm hoping that they're all on there, and I can just do Holdovers, Anatomy of a Fall, and I can land in America with fully across the awards contenders. That's my plan. So yeah, the Holdovers are definitely number one on that list. How about you, John? Have you done anything?
Well, I've been listening to, inspired by his wonderful interview on Distraction Pieces. I've been listening to, so Samuel T. Herring from Future Islands was on Distraction Pieces recently, and Future Islands, which this is a way that a lot of bands now release stuff, is they sort of release a bunch of singles, and they every time they release a new one on Spotify, it appears as an extra track in effectively an EP before the album comes out. So I think you can listen to about six of the tracks off the album now. And so I've been listening to that, and it's really, really good stuff. He is brilliant. How about you, Joe? Nice.
Not much to report. I'm saving it all for airplane mode. So next time I'm on, you wait. I'm going to have some thoughts. But I think that's it. We're good to go. So, Pip, thanks again. Thank you so much.
No problem at all. Thank you for having me on. I'm itching to give you an airplane recommendation because there's a TV show that my brother started watching on a long flight recently.
Oh, yeah.
And we've now binged the full two series. But I'll save it for the TV Distraction Pieces episode.
Oh, awesome.
It's a little cliffhanger there.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Pip. And we'll be back same time next week. Cheers, John.
Bye.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.